This morning we're going to continue a series that I started a few weeks ago on the Ten Commandments, also a theme here, Freedom 10-0. And this morning we're going to read a couple of passages in the Bible, one from the Old Testament from Leviticus 24, beginning at verse 10, and then also another passage from Matthew 23, beginning at verse 13. So this morning we're going to be focusing on the third commandment. And the third commandment, maybe we can just put that up on the screen there, Harrison. As you can see that there, the third commandment is, "You shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God, for the Lord will not hold anyone guiltless who misuses his name." So that's the third commandment that we're focusing on this morning. And in light of that, we have these two passages from Leviticus and Matthew. So hear then the word of God. "Now the son of an Israelite mother and an Egyptian father went out among the Israelites, and a fight broke out in the camp between him and an Israelite. The son of the Israelite woman blasphemed the name with a curse." So they brought him to Moses. His mother's name was Shelomith, the daughter of Dibri, the Danite. They put him in custody until the will of the Lord should be made clear to them. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Take the blasphemer outside the camp. All those who heard him are to lay their hands on his head, and the entire assembly is to stone him. Say to the Israelites, anyone who curses their God will be held responsible. Anyone who blasphemes the name of the Lord is to be put to death. The entire assembly must stone them. Whether foreigner or native born, when they blaspheme the name of God, they are to be put to death." And then a passage from Matthew 23, beginning at verse 13. "Woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites! You shut the door of heaven in people's faces. You yourselves do not enter, nor will you let those enter who are trying to. Woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites! You travel over land and sea to win a single convert, and when you have succeeded, you make them twice as much a child of hell as you are. Woe to you, blind guides! You say if anyone swears by the temple, it means nothing. But anyone who swears by the gold of the temple is bound by that oath. You blind fools! Which is greater, the gold of the temple that makes the gold sacred? You also say if anyone swears by the altar, it means nothing. But anyone who swears by the gift of the altar is bound by that oath. You blind men! Which is greater, the gift or the altar that makes the gift sacred? Therefore, anyone who swears by the altar swears by it and by anything on it. And anyone who swears by the temple swears by it and by the one who dwells in it. And anyone who swears by heaven swears by God's throne and by the one who sits on it." And so far, in the reading of God's word. Dear people of God, someone has once said, "The purpose of words is to conceal thoughts." And how true that often is. All of us regularly talk for effect. We say things that we don't always mean. We assure people of things that we don't always have the intention of fulfilling that thing. Are you serious? That's a question regularly worth asking. All too often, we don't speak that seriously about ourselves or our intentions with other people. And you know, that can also happen when we talk about God. Statistics show that about some 65% of Canadians still claim to believe in God. And that's down from about 81% in 2005. And those same statistics show that only about 15% of Canadians actually attend church on a regular basis. Now, most people wouldn't think of it that way, but such a flippant acknowledgement of a belief in God is really a violation of the third commandment. The third commandment, as we read a few moments ago from Exodus 20, verse 7, says, "You shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God." Now, usually when we think of that commandment, we think of someone who is swearing, using the name of God, or someone who uses coarse language, or uses the name of Jesus, or uses the name of God's name in just a flippant manner, or maybe some expression of anger. I'm sure we've all heard that at times. And many people who say they believe in God often can use God's name as a swear word just on a regular basis, obviously without realizing that their words make a mockery of the God that they claim to still believe in. Now, there are other people who say they believe in God and who never use God's name as a swear word. And when it comes right down to it, there's little evidence of them actually living for God. And we could also ask such people, are you serious about your claim to believe in God? Because that's just as much a violation of the third commandment as using God's name as a swear word. Now, how is that, you might ask? Well, what's helpful to realize here is that each of the Ten Commandments essentially has a negative emphasis. A negative emphasis, but also has a positive emphasis at the same time. So negatively, the third commandment says, don't curse, don't misuse the name of God. But positively, it basically says, we are to honor God's name. We are to talk about God with reverence and awe. And if we say that we believe in God, and yet we show little evidence of that in our daily living, then we certainly aren't showing a whole lot of respect for God. Then we are actually misusing God's name. Now, in Leviticus 24, the passage we read earlier, the Bible makes it clear that God doesn't condone the flippant use of his name. The Israelites at that time were in the desert, and they were on their way to their new promised land. And one day a fight broke out between two men. You know, these kinds of things still happen today. There's nothing new under the sun. But the one was a pure-blooded Israelite, and the other was a man with an Israelite mother and an Egyptian father. And the man with the Egyptian father became so angry, he swore out the name of God. And those who witnessed it, they knew that this was an obvious violation of the third command to not misuse the name of God. And so the man was put in custody until God would make it clear to them how to deal with this man. And in response, God showed Moses, the leader of people, how serious he takes the use of his name. In Leviticus 24, verse 15 and 16, it says, anyone who curses their God will be held responsible. Anyone who blasphemes the name of the Lord is to be put to death. Wow. Pretty serious stuff. And the Israelites took note of that, and this incident seemed to have its effect among the people of Israel, to the point that in subsequent generations, the Israelites were so careful to not misuse God's name that they actually made a practice of not even pronouncing God's name out loud. It became so extreme that after a while, no one in the nation of Israel even knew how to pronounce God's name in the Hebrew language any longer, because they never used the name of God. Now, that's not at all what God intended with this third command. God doesn't want us to ignore the use of his name, but to always use his name with reverence and awe. What God forbids in the third commandment is any use of his name that's empty, frivolous, or insincere. And we don't have to look all that hard to see how that's happening all around us in our world today. When a nation like the United States inscribes in God we trust on its coins, when it's obvious they don't trust in God at all, that's a direct misuse of God's name. But when our nation, when we as Canada, when so much of our nation tries to stamp out the name of God in almost every area of public life, that also defames God's name in our nation. And you know, it even happens among religious people. When churches or freelance preachers engage in religious racketeering, that's also an outright violation against God's name. A number of years ago, an evangelist named Oral Roberts says that God had told him that he would be struck dead if he didn't raise $4.5 million by a certain date. And just a few months ago, this past May, there was another prosperity gospel televangelist named Jesse Duplantis who told his listeners that God had told him to buy a Falcon 7X private jet to help him spread the gospel around the world. He said that if Jesus were to come back today, he wouldn't ride a donkey. He would have a jet just like that to spread the gospel around the world. Now, interestingly, Duplantis already had three private planes. And he needed another one because he said God told him to tell his listeners that they needed to cover the cost of this $54 million luxurious airplane. Sad. Because that's another trivial use of God's name that isn't all that helpful for the integrity of the Christian faith. As you can imagine, the press had great sport with the news of that situation. But let's not be so quick to point fingers at other people. We might not use God's name as a swear word, but when we try to make ourselves look good by spicing up our conversations with flippant references to God, or when we pray thoughtlessly to God, or when we talk about God in a cheap and easy kind of way, or when we profess our faith without really meaning it, then we also give little honor to God and his name. This third commandment says to us essentially, hey folks, don't be a phony Christian. Because when we speak to or about God, he wants us to mean what we say. Mere lip service or meaningless ritual is an insult to God. To come to worship like this and then to think about something completely different, to think about last night's party or last night's hockey game, that's not near as innocent as it might seem. God wants us to put our hearts into our worship. God wants us to put our hearts into living for him, to treat him with reverence and respect at all times, in all places of our lives. Jesus says in Matthew 7, verse 21, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only those who do the will of my Father in heaven. In other words, it's possible for us to misuse God's name in our actions as well as our words. If we confess God's name with our mouths and yet don't do anything to show it in our actions, then we actually violate the third command as much as the person who swears using the name of God. And the passage we read from Leviticus 24 shows God's concern for the honor of his name. And God also expects us to be concerned about protecting the honor of his name. The Israelites in this incident could have easily said, you know what? He's got a whole lot of Egyptian blood in him. He doesn't know any better. Just let it go. They could have done that. No, they acted on their concern for God's name. And all those who had witnessed this man cursing God, they had to lay hands on this blasphemer's head, and then they had to stone him to death. Pretty serious stuff. An old confession of our church says that we share in the sin of someone's misuse of God's name when we remain a silent bystander. I'll have to admit, that's not always an easy thing to do, is it? But how often do we tell someone that we are offended when they use God's name or Jesus' name as a swear word in our presence? I think most of us would probably speak up if the name of our mother or father or child was dragged through the mud in some way. We'd see it as an offense to the family name, right? Should be just as offended when someone uses the name of our Savior or our God. To not say anything is to show that we're maybe not all that serious about God for ourselves. I have to admit that I've had more than a few humorous situations where someone is using colorful language until they find out that I'm a pastor. Doesn't happen with any of you, of course. But it's interesting how suddenly they find out I'm a pastor and they become very apologetic. Oh, sorry for using that kind of language. And they make a real effort to try not to do it again. And it's like they already know that it's something they shouldn't do in the first place. You know, I find it so interesting that when someone hits their thumb with a hammer or something like that, they never say, "Oh, Muhammad, that hurts." And you never hear someone insult another person saying, "Oh, for the love of Buddha, that you're so stupid." For some strange reason, it seems to be acceptable to misuse the name of God or to misuse the name of Jesus in those situations. Try it sometime to say, "Oh, Muhammad," or "Oh, Buddha," in those situations. People will think you're nuts. And yet when we say, "That's my God's name that you're abusing, and it hurts for me to hear that," people will usually respect us for that. It takes courage. Yes, it does. It takes courage on our part to do that. But you know, many times it can also open a door for us to tell this person why we have a hope in God and what it means for us to live for Jesus in this world. It's part of standing up for our beliefs in this world. I remember a few years ago when I was still working in construction before I became a pastor. Maybe it was more than a few years ago, but anyway, I worked with this one guy named Eddie. And Eddie used to use some pretty colorful language in the construction site, and including sometimes using God's name as a swear word. And eventually I told Eddie how much that bothered me. And after that, he tried his best not to use God's name in that way. And you know what? What was so interesting about that is we had some really interesting spiritual conversations after that. Now, you might think, "Well, I'm not sure if I could do that." But we can take courage in knowing that God promises to help us when we stand up for him in this world. Jesus says in Matthew 10, verse 19 and 20, "Do not worry about what to say or how to say it. At that time, you will be given what to say. For it will not be you speaking, but the Spirit of your Father speaking through you." One thing to be concerned about the way other people use God's name, but it's even more important for us to examine how much of a role God plays in the day-to-day activities of our own lives. We can raise the roof here on Sunday morning to sing out God's name in our worship. We can say a quick prayer at the dinner table. we can also sometimes give God the cold shoulder in the other so-called ordinary activities of our lives. And then we also violate the third command along with the person who uses God's name in a flippant way as a swear word. And that's the kind of situation Jesus addresses with some Jewish religious leaders called Pharisees in Matthew 23. Now, ironically, these Pharisees, these Jewish leaders, they had accused Jesus of blasphemy. They had accused Jesus of making a false claim of being the Son of God. And they were so upset about Jesus misrepresenting God's name in this way, at least in their eyes, that they actively looked for a way to kill Jesus for what they viewed as that blatant blasphemy. And Jesus then responds in Matthew 23 by lashing out at these Jewish leaders for their hypocritical religious views and practices. You see, these Pharisees had all kinds of hair-splitting laws about what the Jews of that day were allowed to do or what they were not allowed to do, including the making of religious oaths. Unless they violate the third command in any way, they made sure to never make an oath in God's name. That wasn't allowed. And so what they would do is they would make oaths using religious symbols like the temple or the gold of the temple. Anything as long as God's name wasn't mentioned in any way. And here comes Jesus and says, "Well, you bunch of hypocrites. Don't you realize you can't separate God from any area of your life? All these promises that you're making have something to do with God, whether you mention his name or not. You get all bent out of shape," says Jesus, "about your nitpicky views about God's law when you don't even have a relationship with this God yourself." And as expected, these Jewish leaders weren't all that thrilled about Jesus saying these things to them. It made them even more antagonistic about Jesus. And eventually, they found a way to kill Jesus by accusing him of being a blasphemer against God's name. Now, thankfully, God used that horrible event of Jesus dying on the cross to deal with our tendency to be hypocritical about our commitment to God and his name in our daily living. While the Jews of Jesus' day had it all wrong on some accounts, at least they had a devout seriousness about the use of God's name. How different from today, where we no longer find it difficult to talk about God or about Jesus, but we don't always back up our talk with our daily living. And our empty talk about God or Jesus falls in line with the hypocrisy that Jesus accuses the Pharisees of in Matthew 23. It's a humbling thing, if we think about it, to know that we can sometimes leave a sour taste in someone's mouth when we create an association with Jesus that isn't always so appealing to other people. Sadly, there have been many people in our society who've been turned off by Christians, by people from the church who don't always live out what they claim to believe. Too many people have been turned off by a God or the Bible, by the way we as Christians have misrepresented the name of Jesus in our inconsistent commitment to God or the honor of his name in the day-to-day activities of our lives. And admittedly, it's easier said than done to serve God with full reverence and awe in every part of our lives. It's easier said than done for all of us. That's definitely the case. But thankfully, we can hang on to the wonderful promise that God remains committed to us, that God loves us and is gracious to us despite our frequent shortcomings. When we confess our weaknesses and our failures to God, he not only reassures us of his forgiveness through Jesus as our Savior from sin. But God now promises that He will empower us by His Holy Spirit to live out our commitment to Him in new ways. God promises that He will empower us by His Holy Spirit to love and serve and honor Him in everything we say and do in this world. And with God's help, we can truly be serious about God in our lives. And we can do it out of gratitude for what God has done for us in Jesus in the first place. And so may God help us to truly be serious about God and about Jesus in our words and our actions in every part of our lives. And all God's people said, amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we know that You call us to honor Your name. We know that You want us to look to You with awe and reverence in every aspect of our lives. And yet we confess that we all fall short in this area. We thank You that we can look to You as a gracious and loving and merciful God, that You promise to forgive us for our hypocritical ways of not always backing up our talk with our actions. Thank You, Lord Jesus, for being willing to come into this world, and that You are willing to go to the cross for imperfect people like us. Thank You for giving us Your Holy Spirit, that through Your Holy Spirit that You promise to empower us to do what we can't do in our own strength. We pray, Lord God, that You will help us through the power of Your Holy Spirit to honor You and to honor Your name in such a way that people around us notice that. That people around us may be attracted to us as believers, as Christians, by the way that we honor You not only in our words, but even more so in our actions. And we pray, Lord God, that You will use us in that way to spread the name of Jesus around us in this community. And that we may show that we are people who are in love with You, people who desire to serve You out of gratitude for Your goodness and Your love and Your mercy to us in Jesus. And so we pray this then with gratitude in our hearts in the name of our precious Savior, Jesus.